facts about the word of God. Facts about God's word. That's what I wrote down. And we'll be looking at 4 points. We'll be discussing and talking about 4 points, 4 basic points about the word of God. And number one point is the Bible was written by divine inspiration. Number two, God's word is eternally true and never fails. Number three, the importance of God's word. And number four, God's word is our spiritual weapon. Praise the Lord. The Lord will bring our people in the mighty name of Jesus. I have a question I want us to answer. Is it correct to say that the Bible is the word of God? What makes you say so? Yes, sir. Russell, I bring microphone. The microphone is here. Mommy, pastor. Daddy says that the Bible contains the word of God. That's like any other book is talking about, you know, there's a subject of that book. So the Bible is, the subject of the Bible is God's word. God's word is written there. But the most important part is that whatever is written in the Bible was written through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It's not just an ordinary story. Praise the Lord. It's not just an ordinary story like any literature book or any study book. The Bible was written by divine inspiration. So that makes it special. That makes it different. We are going to be looking at the basics about the Word of God. And we're going to be reading some Bible portions. I'll be very fast so that we can discuss it. We all have different opinions. We all have a lot that we know that we need to share. The essence of coming together here is not to hear one person at all. It's for us to come and learn. The Bible says, iron sharpens iron. As we speak, as we, you know, discuss together, we tend to learn more than when you are just reading alone and studying alone, because the deeper things are brought out when we gather like this. May the Lord teach us this evening in the mighty name of Jesus. I will try, but my iPad is very slow. So I would like Brother Femi to help me as it is. I'm sorry. So, the Bible was written by a divine inspiration according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16. Bible, it says that the scripture is given by the inspiration of God. All scriptures is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That is powerful. All scriptures is given by inspiration of God. And what is it for? What is the scripture for? What is scripture supposed to do in our lives? Scripture is given, is supposed to be profitable to us profitable for doctrine. That's whatever, if you see any church that is not going according to the word of God, flee. Because that's the standard for any child of God, for any church, for any denomination, when you're gathered in the name of God, that Bible, the scripture is what should be your guide. If there's anything added or subtracted from what is in the Bible, what the Bible says, what the scripture says, then we should flee. It's not the right place to be. If the doctrine is not the doctrine of God, as it is stated in the word of God, we should flee. The word of God is given for reproof. It's given for correction. It's given for instruction in righteousness, not forcing it on people, not through quarrel. You want to admonish somebody who has done wrong using the word of God, you're going to do it lovingly, not by condemning the person. Praise the Lord. And again, 1 Thessalonians chapter 21, verse 13. First Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 says, "Ye receive it not as the word of man, but as it is the truth in the word of God." For this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Because when ye receive the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye receive it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. I want to believe that. What he's saying is that if you don't believe the word of God, it cannot work effectively in you. You cannot benefit from anything you don't believe in. You cannot get serious about something you don't believe in. So if we believe the word of God, then it will work for us. But if we don't believe in it, it won't have meaning. But what else do we have anyway? It's the word of God that is everything to us. God has put his word there to guide us, to build us, to help us, to comfort us, to give us all that we need to know about him. We know Christ through his word. The Lord will teach us in the mighty name of Jesus. We're still talking about the word of God. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1 says, God spoke in time past through the fathers by the prophets. He speaks to the fathers through the prophet. As in, we are talking about the word of God being written through inspiration, divine inspiration. Any word that God was going to speak to somebody, in those days, used to speak through the prophets. Remember the work that Elisha did, Elijah, and all of them. How you will send Elijah to go and meet such and so person, tell this and that and that. We know that's God's word. And up till now, God is still sending his word to us. It doesn't have to be somebody that will come and be shaking, and tell you, thus says the Lord. When the pastor is standing on the pulpit, is preaching, the word of God is coming to us. When we come together like this, God is speaking his word to us. When you kneel down to pray, you open your Bible and read, God speaks to you directly. There are sometimes you have a burden in your heart, and you just want to go through the word of God, and surprisingly, the Holy Spirit will lead you to a place where it talks, that deals with whatever that challenge is. That's God speaking to us. The word of God is there to build us, to comfort us. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, it talks about men of God that speak as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, even up till now. Say, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but the holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. But in this dispensation, how many men of God are really speaking as they are moved by the Holy Ghost? That is why every child of God must aspire to know the word of God. Because we have different doctrines now. Some people have deviated. some men, so-called men of God, in quotes, they are no longer speaking as the head by the Holy Ghost. Some of them have their own word they are speaking. So if you don't have a discerning spirit, you will just fall a victim. They come and tell you one thing and you begin to have sleepless nights over it if you don't know what the word of God says concerning that. So the Lord will help us to and teach us his word so that nobody will come to deceive us, because these days things have changed. We are in mixed multitude, even in the church. If Satan can be bold enough to have what they call the church of Satan, then we know that it's time to read the word of God and to know it. We should know the difference between what God is saying and what the devil is saying. God will help us in Jesus' name. God's word is eternally true and it never fails. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 56. 1 Kings 8, 56. Blessed be the Lord that had given rest unto his people Israel, according to all that he promised. They had not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. All the promises that God made to the children of Israel, he didn't fail them. He promised to take them to a promised land, and he did. Even though it was not everybody that went in there, but for as many as were qualified, they went in. So if God's word did not change in those days, it's not going to change in our own days. I don't know what God has promised you. Don't be distracted. I don't know what God has promised you, but I know as children of the Most High God, we all have, you know, the promises of God in our lives. It could be for an appointed time. It could be there's still time of waiting. It could be you're still passing through your time of trial. It could be that word is for the noun. But whatever it is, God is still speaking to us. May the Lord cause us to hear in the mighty name of Jesus. The word of God is eternally true. God does not lie. He cannot lie. He's not a man. That's what the word of God tells us. In Psalm 119, verse 89, it says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." The word of God is settled. The word of God is yea and amen. You cannot, if you try to dilute it, the Bible warns that we should not take out from it, neither should we add. Leave it as it is. It's yea and amen, and it's truth. And it's settled. Once God has spoken, that is it. Nothing can change it. Isaiah 48 says, "The word of God shall stand forever." The word of God shall stand forever. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but the word of God will not pass away. It says, "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of God still stand forever. Whatever we see will melt away, but the word of God will never, never change." Isaiah 55:10-11. "So shall my word be which goeth out of my mouth." "For as the rain cometh down, the snow from heaven, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it." It's a promise. The word of God is strong. The word of God is true. The word of God is settled. The word of God is forever. Whenever God sends his word, he means it. He's not going to repent from what he has spoken. He's not going to return to him void. He must accomplish the purpose that for speaking that word. And it will prosper in the thing where he has sent it. He sent his word and healed them. And healed them of their diseases and delivered them. Once you speak the word of God, in that situation, he takes it away. The word of God shall not pass away. Matthew 24, verse 35. Ma- Matthew 24:35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. See how powerful the word of God is. Heaven, earth shall pass away. But the word of God, which is God himself, will never pass away. The word of God cannot be broken. It cannot be nullified. It cannot be canceled. John 10:35b. I'll read the whole of 35. John 10:35. Say, if he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken. Keep saying the scripture cannot be broken. He keeps saying the word of God cannot change. The word of God is forever. The word of God endures forever. 1 Peter 1:25. But the word of God endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. This word of God that endures forever is the word that of the gospel that's been preached unto me, being preached unto you. The word that we listen to on telly, on the radio, on the pulpit, wherever we go, is the gospel which is preached unto you. That is the sound word of God. We should be able to differentiate which one is coming from God and the one that is not from God. Let's look at the I have a question. What is the importance of the word of God's word? I just want us to discuss a little bit before I continue. What is the importance of God's word? Importance of God's word. I say, what is the importance of God's word? We have already spoken about the importance of God's word. It's just a reminder. I want to see if you heard what I said.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You already mentioned it that in 1 Timothy that the word of God is useful for reproof, for Brother, please help me now. For correction, for reproof, and unto righteousness. Yeah, I believe that as well. I can't remember exactly how the verse
goes. Give it to brother. Give it to him. Let him tell us. No, him, my brother. Yes.
You see, it says all scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. That's why when you asked the question, I was like, you just mentioned this now.
But did you tell? You almost didn't remember. That's why, because I noticed that there's so much distraction going on there. That's why I asked that question. Because it's like you're not even hearing what I'm saying. Praise the Lord. Deuteronomy 32, 46, and 47. The book of Deuteronomy 32, 46, and 47. He says, and he said unto them, set your heart unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which ye shall command your children to observe to do, all the words of this law. For it is not a vain thing for you, because it is your life. I mean, the word of God is our life. That's how serious it is. The word of God is actually our life. We know that the word is life and spirit. is our life. That means our life depends on the word of God. And through this thing, ye shall prolong your days in the land whither ye go over Jordan to possess it. The children of God, the children of Israel, they depended on God's word, the instructions. Each time they cried, Moses would go to God and God would give a word. Each time they started complaining, Moses will go back to God and God will speak a word. And that word, they were walking and going as far as the word was coming forth, it was helping them. Can you imagine what it would have looked like if God wasn't speaking to them and they had to go round and round for 40 years? I'm sure some people would have gone back. Even though the word was coming at the right time and it was being fulfilled, and yet they were still not stable. Any little challenge, they was, oh, Moses, you should have left us to die where we were. They would start complaining, just like we are complaining now. The word of God, as it was then, is still here today. The way God was still speaking to them, Moses, do this. Tell my children to go forward. Why are you crying unto me? Moses, do. Moses, that. And it was working. Why will you not work for us? He's the same God, the same word. The Lord will help us to remember that we have a weapon that no one can take away from us, which is the word of God. No one can change it. No one can challenge it. No one can challenge the word of God. If God has spoken, that is that. Nothing is going to change it. It's yea and amen. He may wait for the right time if it's not for the now, but it shall come to pass. God has magnified his word above his name. That's how strong the word of God is. According to Psalm chapter 138, verse 2b. Jesus is the word made flesh. John 1:1. In the beginning there was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Jesus is the word. So when you know the word, you know him. Like I said, we know him through his word. By his word, we know him. If we don't know the word, we don't know him. The much we know the word is the much we know him. If we know him, know the word little, we know him little. It's not been revealed to us yet until we have a full glare of the word of God and full understanding of what the word of God said concerning any situation or issue. If we don't, we'll just be walking like blind people and be making mistakes. The word of God, which is Jesus himself, was made flesh and dwelt among us, according to John 1:14. His name, Jesus, is called the Word of God. Revelation 19:11-13. The book of Revelation chapter 19, we want to read from verse 11 to 13. And he said, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Verse 12. His eyes were as a flame of fire. And on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. Verse 13. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. We know God by his word. When we know the word of God, we know God. The word of God is God himself. The power of the word. Let's talk about the power of the word. The word is spirit and is life. According to John chapter 6, verse 63b. The heavens were made by the word of God, spake, and it was done. Let's see Psalm 33 from verse 6 to 9. Psalm 33, 6 to 9. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Just like God moved the children of Israel to the promised land by his word, the heavens were made by the word of God. Anything that has been was made by the word. Speak the word. Just speak the word, and it will come to pass. When you speak negative words, well, I'm sorry about it. But you are in the habit of speaking positive words, it will work for you. Whatever you speak is what you get. Praise the Lord. We can read Romans 1:16, chapter 1, verse 16, and Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. Talks about the world we frame by the word of God, and then 2 Peter 3, 5 to 7, and then let's look at God's word as a spiritual weapon. God's word as a spiritual weapon. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. It talks about the word of God being the sword of the spirit, and then the word of God is fire. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 14. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 14. Wherefore, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, because you speak this word, behold, I will make my words in thy mouth fire, and these people wood, and it shall devour them. If the word of God is fire in your mouth, there is nothing that it cannot devour for you. When you speak that word, it comes out as fire. According to your faith, so it works for you. I used to tell my children, I say, one thing that you need to know is that when you actually say, I cover myself with the blood of in the blood of Jesus, believe it that you have covered yourself in the blood of Jesus, is working already. Even before I came to know the Lord, when I was a little child, my grandfather used to tell me, say, he told me that the word that we speak, for the first time I heard it in his mouth, said that the word that we speak is very powerful. He was advising me that people get scared when they come to the village. He used to call me Sunshine. He said, come and say Sunshine in my language. He said, Sunshine. I said, yes, Papa. He said, anytime you come in the midst of these wicked people, when you see somebody approaching you and you're not too sure of the person, what you should say before the person gets to you is, I cover myself with the blood of Jesus. And Lord, sanctify that person and destroy whatever negative spirit is in him in the name of Jesus. He said, the moment you say that, it happens. Just believe. I said, wow. He said, yes. So he told me to be tried. So that's what I've been doing. Every time when we go to village, we go to any place that I'm not sure of people, I just do that. So I try to pass on too. Before I now started reading to know that, you can actually speak the word and it will, you know, I remember, I said, Papa told me this thing. So let us not be saying, blood of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus. I call myself with the blood of Jesus. And we don't even believe. We are just saying it for saying sake. The moment you say it out, it's working. It's taking effect. And when we command something to say fire, I release the fire of God on something. Let the fire of God consume this thing. Believe that it's consuming it. I wish God were to open our eyes for you to see that fire actually goes out to consume that thing. The word of God is powerful. The word that we speak, they are fire. Fire. I pray that the word of God will be fire in our mouth. The word of God is fire. It's quicker than the two-edged sword. That's what the Bible says. I want us to have time so that other people can contribute. I will not be able to say everything. The word of God, there's so much more to be said about the word of God. I've said that the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any sword. In Hebrews 4:12, that's what it says. So, I want us to contribute. Jeremiah 23:29 said, it's not my word like as fire and like a hammer. The word of God is like hammer. Hammer that you can use and hit. There's is hardly anything that you can hit with hammer that it won't give way. So that's what the word of God is to us. Praise the Lord. Contribution. The word. The word of God.
It's the Lord. So I have two contributions. One was more like a question, more like a comment. So I very wonderful topic. You see, like you said, it's very important for us as Christians to actually study God's word and not wait for the word to be said to us, like maybe like a word of, it's not like the word, while not trying to downplay a word of knowledge that comes forth, but it's also important for us to know God's word for ourselves. And when we do that, it's much easier for us to hold God by his word. So of course God's word can come to us through a word of knowledge. But that word of knowledge, the knowledge that you have of God's word will resonate with the word that you are receiving from the altar or from the message or from the pastor. I can't remember exactly that verse of the Bible. It says that the spirit in the word that is coming to you is agreeing with the spirit of the word. Like that's the spirit is agreeing with this your own spirit. So there's an agreement, and that's what is really important for us, so we don't become dependent primarily on the word that comes. So if we don't hear from our pastor, we do not believe that something is going to. Because bearing in mind that, of course, the pastor is also human. So sometimes when we put them under pressure to tell us what God is saying, they end up telling us not what God is saying, but what they are saying, because they give you some of their, because what you don't know, you don't know. So you just said, okay, let me just tell you this, not, which is not out of any bad intent, not even out of an intent to deceive you, but it's more or less them just giving you a response. That's just one. Then also, the importance of knowing God's word also help us to challenge God, to help us to hold God by his word. In the legal parlance, we talk about something like a precedent. So if something has happened in the past, the lawyers tend to want to use a similar case to support their current legal case, so that he called it like a judicial precedent. Like, this thing has happened before. This was the judgment that this judge that was given in this particular case. So they want to use that case to, and if humans can do that, you can imagine how much more God holds his word when we hold him to his word, when we, the Bible says that he respects his word even more than his name. So we need to know, and it's only what you know that you can use. When I was in secondary, when I was in university, in fellowship back in this, we had this, you know, this pastor, fellowship pastors now. So we had this brother that was very sound in the word. As in, he knows the Bible very well. As in, you know, so we had this other brother too that was very sound when it comes to prayer. He can lead prayer from morning to night and he will not be tired. So we used to have this mindset that, which one is the better option? Is that you should be studying the Bible, God, or you should be praying, God? So, but he really was trying to find a balance between the two of them. But really, I think prayer becomes more effective. What I was saying, I just remembered the two of them. Prayer becomes more effective when you know the word, because this guy, when we are praying, he's speaking one word after the other. He's saying, and God said that this is. So the prayer is like, you are so charged up, you are so confident that God is going to do this thing, because it's inside his word. He's going to do it. Other than just praying, not like prayer is not important, but when you back your prayer up with basis in God's word, it Even you yourself, your faith is strengthened. The Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So your faith is strengthened. You are more confident. You are assured that the answers is on the way. Praise the Lord.
Please, before we continue, I want to ask a question. I want us to discuss it. Can the word of God be fire in the mouth of an unbeliever? Somebody who does not know God, can the word of God be fire in his mouth? You don't know God, you're not born again, you're still living in sin. Will the word of God be fire in your mouth? If you're not born again, you're not a Christian. You're just going to church to fulfill all righteousness. Oh, I went to church today, but you're actually not born again. Can the word of God be fire in your mouth? Please, I want answers. Let's talk about it.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
From my own understanding, and I'm going to speak from the word of God.
Yes,
someone in the church, if the word of God can be called fire in his mouth, I doubt it much, because a prayer of a person who is not righteous is an abomination before God. So you can imagine how the word of God in your mouth will be. But let me just read Luke 24, verse 44. Luke 24, 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Okay, that's the word talking about himself. Now, 45 says, then open up their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Now, if you go to John 1, where you read, and if we look at, take from verse 2, it said, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him, nothing. Without him was not anything made that was made. He said, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. So, a non-believer who has not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior cannot generate the fire of God. I don't think he can. Doesn't mean that God cannot use him. I mean, if we look at the case of King Necho, he was a king of, Egypt, sent to go and destroy Syria, I don't know now, sent to go and destroy one of the, King Necho is from Egypt, to destroy Syria, you know? So, God can use anybody. And again, in some cases, God will purify. You remember what happened to, I think it was Isaiah, who said, woe unto me. You know, and before the angel take the coal of fire from the throne to purify his mouth. So, I believe that anyone who is not a born-again Christian, the fire of God cannot burn. That's why God didn't refer to them as flame. He only referred to his ministers as flames. Flaming, you know? So I just believe that before you can, you know, have that fire of God, you have to be a born-again Christian. And you remember, I've forgotten the name now. I when I looked at it, I can just bring it up again. But
yeah, because thank you, Daddy. Because the unbeliever does not know what you're talking about. He does not know the word of God. He does not even believe in it. So how can it become fire in his mouth? It's when you know something that you can value that thing. Praise the Lord. And if God has said that the prayer of an unrighteous man is an abomination before him, what is prayer? Prayer is quoting God's word back to him to be able to get what we want from him. That's why we cannot pray without using the word of God to pray. Because we are simply telling him, Father, you said that you sent your word to heal me. I'm sick. Please send your word to heal me. So, an unbeliever who does not know that God has said by his stripes we were healed, who does not know that God so loved the world, that was why he sent his only begotten son to come and die for us, may not even know that God loves him or that Jesus came to die for him. That is, he has a part in the blessings that we are talking about. So the Lord will help us. We are just coming here, as like I said, as a routine. We're just coming, we mingle with other people without really knowing the God that we come to serve. The Lord will open our hearts to receive his word, and may the light of God radiate inside of us, and may the Holy Spirit convict us and begin to open us up to know him in the name of Jesus. One more person.
Praise the Lord. I just want to go back to Daddy Gio's open heaven message yesterday. It was on the word of God. And the scripture he quoted was John 6:63. And what it says is that it is the spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. So the word of God is filled with spirit. And the flesh. So whoever doesn't know God, doesn't know Christ, that person is acting in flesh. So the word of God, I want to say, cannot be fire in the mouth of someone that doesn't know Christ. To answer your question, my contribution to what you shared, ma'am, is that the word of God does so many numerous things. Part of it is that the word of God set us free. And the Bible says that it's the truth that we know that will set you free. And the same Bible says that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So the Jesus you know will set you free. So the word of God is very important. If there's any bondage that anyone is in, any kind of bondage that we are in, it's the word of God that will set you free. The word of God that you know is what that will break the edges, break the shackles, break the chain of you, and launches you into your destiny, to your divine destiny. One of the things that the word also do is that it actually exposes our shortcomings. It exposes our weaknesses. It exposes the area of our life that is defective. As the Bible, I think, said in James, when I think we spoke about it in Sunday school, that the word of God is like a mirror. And Sister Funke, I remember Sister Funke was saying that when you stay in the front of the mirror, when your hair is standing out, you can see and you'll be able to straighten it and correct it. So the word of God, you know, the more of the word of God you stumble on, you meditate on, you find out, you study, brings out, shows you those weaknesses, shows you those shortcomings, shows you those limitations that you are not supposed to be in, that you are in, shows you that thing that's handicapping you as an individual. But if you don't stumble on the word of God, if you don't study the word of God, if you don't meditate on the word of God, you won't know that there's something wrong with you. You won't know that there's one of your hair is standing out. You won't know that maybe the cause that is, how come my father's side, all the boys or all the girls are not being successful? It's the word of God that will open your eyes to see that there are some generational causes that passes, that transcend to the fourth generation, and you begin to, is that why my mother, my uncle, and I am like that? So the word of God actually brings out, illuminates out those areas of our life that is defective, that needs to be corrected. So it's very, like you said, man, it is very important that we spend time in the word of God, that we meditate the word of God. And Bashala have rightly said, if you don't know the word of God, your prayer might not fly, because it's the word of God that you present to him. Father, this is your word. This is what you have said. Okay, do unto me as you said, that you honor your word above your name. May God help us in Jesus'
name. That's why the Bible says that the word of God is for correction, is for reproof. Praise the Lord. Daddy, do you have anything to say to add to what I've been saying? As a daddy in the house, we'd like to hear from you. In conclusion of the whole matter for today.
Reminds me of one thing.
activate the word of God that is stored inside of us.
We must speak it without fear. You see, once there is fear and doubt, it is equal to unbelief. If you have the word with you and you can't speak it boldly, you have not believed it. It is the truth. It's not your business how it's going to work. It's not your responsibility. Because you are not the one who will make it to work. The Holy Spirit is the one who will make it to work. Your own is to do your part. Allow the Holy Spirit and God to do His part. Speak it and see if it's not going to work. So, and you see, when we hear testimonies from our elders, actually be looking at it. Whether the CEO said that, you know, he started testing himself, we start with himself, we go to his children. After all, if it doesn't work, nobody is going to be in his house. Nobody will know that it has not worked. And he discovered it was working. Okay? But at that time, he believed it is going to work. And he was speaking it boldly. And when he did and saw the manifestation of it, this thing is working. And he kept it on like that. From that time, he has not stopped. So the thing there, here, a lot of time, do you know that there are so many times you will pray? Okay? I have been put into that. Please, Daddy, just pray for me. I will put it, and I'll just say, the Lord will go with you. It is well with you in Jesus' name. Is that all? Is it the length of the prayer that is the issue? And he'll be asking you, is that all? And no, this is not enough. Okay. If that fellow knows that it is well with you, God will go with you, that alone is more than enough. More than enough. So that is the problem that we have. And you know why? Because the things of this world that we see, that we experience, has taken over our belief, even in the Word of God. And therefore, gradually, we depend on the things of the world, on what we see around ourselves. There was a time that we were here in this church, very interesting thing. I don't know whether Dick will still remember, but this door refused to open. And if you see how we gathered there, and people were saying, let's go and call. I mean, people were saying, give me different this thing. Let's go and call John. Let's go and call this thing. Let's go and call this thing. So I said, okay, is it possible for God to speak to this door? Somebody say, daddy, have a. This is the problem. I said, it doesn't mean that maybe the door is just going to open. But do you know if we speak the word, okay, an idea can, the Holy Spirit can tell somebody, this is what we know. Just speak the word. So that is the problem that we have. We know the word. We do. But we are afraid. Because okay, look at that girl that was told that is it to Ikare? Or Akure? No, Ikare. I think it was Ikare. Akure or Ikare? I think it was Ikare. Was it Akure? At the marketplace. Okay? And she was just going for evangelism. And she spoke the word. And he started. And look at what was going on. People, Christians, people were all as if it's something that is out of the blue. But it should be a common occurrence. Common occurrence. So, let us start it. In our houses. Once anything happens, don't begin to go for this thing first. At least pray. Okay? that is why, as my brother was saying, people now depend on word of knowledge more than their prayer. Because if you declare the word of God, if you declare the thing, it shall be established unto you. But finally, of course, like Daddy was talking today, if you hearken diligently, that's the bottom line. So that is the thing that gives us fear. Sin, iniquities. Oh, the person knows that. If I'm carrying this thing, that's an unforgiveness, and you are praying. Yeah, thank you very much. The devil will be there to say, it's not going to work. Okay? Or you are referring to the word of God that the devil knows from beginning to the end. He knows every verse. The devil knows every bit of this word. If the devil can stand in front of Jesus, the word itself, and was challenging him with the word of God, twist it a little for him, so he will challenge. So these are the things that scare us in the face of. But I know we can break it. Even today, we can begin to start by breaking it. And it will happen in Jesus' name.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Daddy. Want us to pray one prayer that the Lord will teach us, give us the grace, the boldness to begin to speak this word that we have been hearing, the word that we have stored on the inside of us. May we begin to speak it out. It will amaze you that anything that you command by faith, believing in what you're speaking, is going to work for you. I know that some of us will have experiences, we can share the experiences we've had. In the situations where we had to speak the word and something happened, that shows you that God honors his word. Anytime you speak the word by faith and believe it in your heart, it works for you. We receive boldness this evening to begin to speak the word to every situation that we come across in the mighty name of Jesus. Whether it's sickness, whatever it is, instead of always running to get, you know, solutions where there is no solution, may the Lord remind us, may the Holy Spirit remind us the word that we have heard concerning that, and may we have the boldness to speak it out so that the name of the Lord will be glorified, and so shall it be. In Jesus' mighty name we are prayed. Praise the Lord.